Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Holy Moments. This is our 2025 Christmas series and digs into the times where we are faced with moments bigger than ourselves. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy!
Morning, church. We're going to start off our service this morning with two amazing elements and two amazing opportunities. So we're going to first start off with a scripture reading, and then we're going to have a member of our church come up and share a story about something in their life that we believe hits on an essential aspect of this season that we believe that every single one of us should lean into. So to start off, I'd like to invite Jody Gove up to read our scripture verse for today.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody Gove. Yes, that Gove. I am married to Peter. I'm not as comfortable on the stage as he is, so you have to give me a moment if I need to catch my breath. I am happy to be reading to you today from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
So now we're going to go into a time of sharing, and so I'd like to invite my mother-in-law, Cheryl Sheridan, to come up and share a little bit about her story.
Good morning, church. My name is Cheryl Sheridan. As Brian said, I am the mother-in-law and the mom of Jenna. I also lead guest services up in front, so I'm sure you've seen me most Sundays. So I want to share my testimony today about surrender. 9 years ago, my life looked very different. I was divorced, trying to prove I could do everything on my own, holding tightly to control. I was raised to be extremely independent, to work hard, stay strong, manage my own life, my finances, and my health. So when I first heard the word surrender, especially surrendering to God, it didn't make any sense to me. In my mind, surrender meant weakness. But everything in my life started to fall apart at once. I was working full-time in the fitness industry, teaching 9 classes a week, nutrition coaching, and working at the front desk at a gym. I kept pushing myself, thinking that being strong and doing more was the answer. But my body and mind began to break down. I developed severe anxiety and panic attacks, and eventually adrenal fatigue. I had to quit most of my jobs, and my finances crashed. I could barely walk to my mailbox. It was one of the lowest points in my life. At the same time, I carried this deep heaviness as a mom. My 2 kids were in college, and for years, I felt sad and defeated as a mother. I didn't feel strong, and I didn't feel like a good role model. I prayed that one day my kids would forgive me and that our relationship would be better. During that season, I started searching online for answers, anything that could help me calm my anxiety. And I came across videos about faith and prayer. They talked about peace, about God being with us in our struggles. And for the first time, I realized I wasn't in control anymore. I needed to get back to God. I needed a church. A friend suggested a few churches, and one of them was Valley Brook. It took me a few months to actually walk through those doors, but when I finally did, everything changed. I accepted Jesus that day. I joined a life group that same week, and that's where I met the woman who became my mentor. Looking back, that moment of saying yes to Jesus was my very first act of surrender, before I even knew what surrender really meant. But surrender didn't come easily. Even though I was learning about faith and prayer, my desire for control was still very strong. My health continued to decline. My heart rate stayed high for weeks. I barely slept, and eventually I ended up in the emergency room with tachycardia. I remember my mentor looking at me and saying gently, "It's time to surrender this to the doctors," as she prayed with me right there. For the first time, I actually let go and said, "Okay, God, you take this." Within 2 months, I felt like a new person, physically and mentally stronger. I left the fitness industry, found a job with benefits, and stayed connected to my life group and kept learning how to surrender. I was baptized in that August, fully committing my life to Jesus. And God wasn't just restoring my health, he was restoring my family. One Sunday, my daughter Jenna came to church with me before going back to college, and that day she became a believer. Today, you see her leading worship. You're welcome. Working for Converge Northeast and married to her husband, Brian. You're welcome. And my son moved in with me after college, has a great job, and is now engaged. God completely restored my relationship with both of my kids. I wish I could say that life got easier then, but God had more to teach me about surrender. Because of the debt from not working, with all my medical bills, I had to sell my house. I found a condo I loved, but by the time my house was sold, there were already 2 offers on it. All I could do was surrender and pray. Then both offers fell through within the same hour, and that condo became mine. It was such a clear provision of God's. But then came 5 very hard years. COVID hit, and I was furloughed. A year later, I was hired back. Doctors found a spot in my breast. I had a biopsy, and thank God it was benign. More medical bills, more debt, my alimony ended. I started a new job with a team that was incredibly toxic, unkind, unprofessional, and petty. And then my dad passed away during that season. Felt like one wave after another. All I could do, the only thing, was surrender and pray. Then that toxic company shut down without warning. I suddenly lost my job. I remember saying to my life group, "There is no way that God brought me this far into this home and through all of this, just leave me here." A few weeks later, God opened a door. I was hired at MassMutual and finally felt like I was getting my life back on track, paying down debt, keeping my home, feeling stable again. But less than a year later, MassMutual shut down my entire division. I found myself unemployed again, now 55 years old in this economy, and once again, all I could do was surrender and pray. I went on unemployment and Medicaid, and while that could have shattered me in the past, there was a strange peace this time. I didn't spiral. I didn't try to grab for control. I surrendered. I waited. And I trusted God, even when I didn't understand what he was doing. For 11 months, I kept applying and interviewing. I had job offers that were taken back. I was ghosted. And I took an unemployment class. But I kept moving forward, just surrendering and praying. Then everything changed in one moment. The senior VP from my old company called me and said he was moving to another company, and he wanted to bring me, my boss, and 3 others with him. Right before Christmas, which is December 12th, 2024, I was offered a job making more money than I can ever imagine, working with the best team I've ever worked with. God didn't just provide, he redeemed every moment of waiting. I continue to surrender to God's will for my life, and when things get hard, I literally look at my hands. Make sure they're open, not gripping, not controlling, just open. A simple reminder that God is faithful and that surrender isn't losing control. It's just trusting the one who has always been in control. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was amazing. Thank you. That was And unbelievable. Do I even need to say anything anymore after that? That was unbelievable. Oh my goodness. What a message of hope. Thank you so much for sharing. So I have a question for everybody. Have you guys ever stopped to think, and I would imagine many of you have, if your life was going the way that you expected it to go? Like if I was to go back in time and talk to you when you were 12 years old and ask you, hey, what do you think life's going to be like? Do you think you'd even be in the ballpark? What happened? What happened to our lives the way we thought they were going to go? The dreams that we had, where did they go? What happened to them? I mean, I'll tell you what happened. Life happened. Life is crazy. Life hits you with a million different things all at once where you don't see them coming. This is a part of life where your expectations get challenged. Different things happen. Stressors come out. Maybe you did get what you wanted in life. Maybe you have it and you're holding on to it for dear life, making sure it never goes. Maybe you never got picked for the things you wanted and you're still waiting for your shot. Are you there? What happened to all our expectations? You know, something I've learned about people in the different areas of work that I've done over the few years that I've been working, because I'm not that old, but something I've learned is that people are planners. They have hopes. They have dreams. If you don't, usually that's a sign of hopelessness, so I'd hope that's not you. But most of the time, people have aspirations and goals and expectations for how they want life to be and to go. But just like what we said at the beginning, life happens, and we get hit with all the different areas of life, and our expectations get met with different situations and circumstances. Like Mary and Cheryl, in both situations for sure, in very different ways, both of these women got hit with things that interrupted their life. They had expectations for the way life was going to go, and something came in and disrupted them. For Cheryl, I can't even imagine, could you, like, if I was to talk to you back in the beginning of, like, your life, getting married or getting your first job, do you think that that would have been what your life was going to look like at all? Think about for Mary. I think Mary got hit with a pretty decent disruption in her life, you know, bearing the Son of God. That's a pretty big disruption in her life. She was about to get married. And just so you guys know, just a heads up, for a woman back then to get married, it wasn't all sunshines and rainbows. She had a plan in getting married. This was a woman in first century Roman-occupied Israel. Women in marriages back then, they were pretty much like a possession. They were property. That's very difficult for a woman to get through that. I'm not saying none of it is good. I mean, there's obviously some good things in there. But it's a tough thing for a woman to get through. They have a lot of expectations of how they have to be able to survive through this and make it well, to live well in that situation. You have to bear children that will be able to assist you. You have to keep good standing in the community so that way if something was to happen to your family, that the community would be there to help her. She had to make sure she was faithful to her husband so she wouldn't get ousted by that community. There's a lot of different things that she had expectations for in order for her life to go the right way. God sending Jesus into her life was a bit of a disruption to some of that. She had to surrender a bit to that. Now, sometimes, and I think at least for myself, sometimes when we read Mary's situation about bearing the Son of God, sometimes we can get kind of caught up in the enormity of that situation of, oh my goodness, this is nothing like this has ever happened. But there is something in Mary's story that I believe every single one of us can relate to, that Mary had expectations for her life, and she met something that disrupted them. For many of us, we have expectations for life, ways that we hope life would go, systems and things that we have set up for our well-being and support that will be met with situations that could rupture them. So I want to give a thought. Let me propose a thought for everybody. Your expectations of support and well-being will be met with an interruption in your life. Something will alter the flow and will change the course of its direction. We may not know why or how, but it will happen. every single one of us will be met with one. Because that's life. That's normal. That's a part of life. That this happens. God sends into our lives things that disrupt what's going on because that's life. Now, how do you feel hearing that? To think that your systems of well-being and support could be disrupted. What emotions rise to the top? Do you feel anxious? Maybe angry? A little? What about disgust? Or do you kind of write it off and say, it will never happen? Say, no, my life's pretty good. I've got it, you know, I got a 401k and I've got a Roth. I'm doing pretty good. Nothing can alter my life. I don't know. Those are big things. People feel, you know, good with those. You know, the interesting in life is, again, these things happen. Life is disrupted. Your life has been changed before. It's what made you into who you are today from where you were at 12 years old. Your life is very different because life happened and new things came in. Now, the thing is, and this is the big thing I think for all of us to focus on, is it's not if these things are going to happen in our lives. It's not if this situation is going to come and disrupt my life. It's when. But it's also how we respond to them that reflects what our life is going to be like. How we respond to these situations is the marker for how our life will turn out, not the situations themselves. How Mary responded to this situation determined the rest of her life. Very similarly, so it did with her family members. If you remember what they said as Elizabeth, her cousin was having a baby, very similar situation, had a miracle child, but they responded very differently. And it changed their life based on it. That story is actually, interesting enough, is very similar to an earlier story in the Bible of Abraham and Sarah. The way that they responded to the miracle that God did in their life altered the way that their life would go. It's not just what happened, it's how they responded to what happened. And so how can we respond to these things, these interruptions? We can ignore it. You sure can do that. Those are not really in the Bible that much for obvious reasons, because if people ignored what God did, no one really wrote about it. Now, you can hold your fist and say, no, my life has to go the way I want it to go. I refuse to allow anything to come in and change that. You can do that too, if you want. I wouldn't recommend it. You can attempt to try to take what God is doing in your life and kind of spin it your own way. I would call that the Abraham way or the Elizabeth way. Or you can surrender your life, allowing God to do his good work in your life, not claiming that life has to go the way that you want it to go, but allowing God room in your life to do something greater. You know, it's very interesting, at least to me, that this story actually, there's something interesting about this. It's very similar to another story in the Bible, if you're ever familiar with the story of Job. It's a story in the Old Testament. And why these two stories are similar, how in the world is someone bearing the Son of God similar to a story of a guy making it all and losing it all, is because Job as well had an opportunity to respond to what God had done in his life. Something disrupted Job's notions of support and well-being, and he had an option to respond to it. Just like Mary. So what did he do? So before I tell you what he did, unless you're familiar with the story, then, you know, spoiler alert, you already know it. But before I go into what he did, I want you to consider a biblical principle, an idea that the people back then had a different viewpoint, a different value and understanding of what the good life looked like. People back then in the times of ancient kind of biblical writings and things like that, people back then had a different value system for how they believed they should live well in God's created order. And I'll tell you what, it looks a lot different than how we think the good life looks like here in America. And I think, and the leadership here would agree with me as well, that we think here at Valley Brook believe that you should adopt, that all of us, it would behoove us to adopt their values and understanding of what the good life looks like, because it's a lot richer than what anything this country can make up. Anything that this time and era that we're in could create. That the understanding that they had back then is timeless and greater. Their value of the good life is this, that life is at its most abundant when you live it with an open hand and a grateful heart. That abundance in life comes through an open hand and a grateful heart. With a grateful heart, with an endless joy. Sorry, anyway. It's the Muppets Christmas Carol. It's the best Christmas Carol out there. Sorry, it always just comes to mind. I love that movie. It's the best one. When you hold life with a closed fist, meaning tightening around it, holding what you have and not allowing it to be hit by the winds of life or even by the hands of other people, you actually have very little. There's a biblical wisdom and understanding of life like this. They call it futility. It's like chasing after the wind or chasing after smoke, trying to grab it. And the second you get it, you realize there was nothing there and it slipped through your grasp. And all you're left with is thinking, what was I chasing after? Holding life with a closed fist tightly around what we have brings about anxiety. It brings a scarcity mindset, meaning this viewpoint that there is only a little bit out there and I need to hold tightly to what I have because there's not enough. And it even brings about anger and bitterness, viewing other people as a threat to what you have. It's resource guarding what you have in an anger, pressing other people away and viewing them as lesser or just as threats. Do you see this in life today? You ever been guilty of feeling this way? I have. There have been many times in my life that I have viewed the things that I have as precious and I hold on to them, but if I look at anyone else and I see them as a possible threat to it, I devalue them. Have you ever been in that position? When you do that, you see others not as full image bearers of God, but as lesser. Look throughout history. It's riddled with people doing this. Anytime that you see people dehumanized, it starts with this. Can I ask you this again? In your life, well, think about this for a moment. You're going to have your notions of well-being disrupted. Something is going to come into your life. God is going to place something into your life to alter the flow and disrupt what's going on. It's going to happen. It may have already happened. It may have just happened. How do you feel hearing this? Can I ask a quick question? Is God's plans for your life a threat to you? Is God a threat to you? If you think about what God could do in your life and you think, that's dangerous to me, I don't want that, consider how you're holding on to life. Are you holding life with a closed hand or an open hand and a grateful heart? Abundance comes in a life through open hand living and a grateful heart. So what did Job do? It said after Job had lost everything, his kids, his home, his job, his savings account, if they had one, all of his resources, everything that made him who he was, he lost it all. What did he do? He praised God. Hey, there's a quote here from Job 1. Says he was grateful. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return there, meaning to death. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Meaning that he acknowledged that every single thing he was given was a gift from God, and so nothing was lost. That is a grateful heart and an open-handed life to be able to do that. What did Mary do? It says, after she learned all of this, everything that was going to happen, as she considered, it said she was disturbed by the angel showing up, and I feel like many of us would be in a situation like this. They were disturbed, going, what in the world is about to happen? She learns this, and it says she sang a song of gratitude after it. I'd love to read it for you. She said, my soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors. Church, gratitude is the antidote to scarcity and anxiety. It is the conduit for surrender. Gratitude heals us in our core and allows us to live open-handed and grateful. Do you guys know that a daily practice of gratitude does more for your anxiety and in healing of PTSD syndrome or symptoms than medication does? Isn't that kind of wild? If you don't believe me, I literally have the Journal of Medicine article. I can send it to you. It's absolutely incredible. A daily practice of gratitude heals your soul and your emotions, completely changes your state of mind over time. It is the antidote to the sufferings of life, to be able to live the good life. And every single one of us has the option to do it. Do you want to live a life of abundance? Do you want to live the good life the way that the people and the stories in our scriptures believe the good life was? Then respond to life in the interruptions with gratitude. Find things to be grateful for, and God will do wonders in your life. Adopt a life and a practice of gratitude and start holding life with an open hand. Holding life in an open hand does not mean being lazy. It does not mean not planning. It doesn't mean you have to stop dreaming or you have to stop working. It means work. It means dream. It means plan. It means do what you need to do, but hold it open for what God could do through it. Do not demand it has to go your way. It is not a call to be lazy. It's a call to work in hand with God. When you open your hand up in life and you hold it open, you actually allow God to hold it together with you. That's the way we were made to live. God gives to those, this is a very interesting thing, for those of you who are here and maybe don't believe in Jesus, do not believe that God is who he is, I want to let you know something about the God we believe in. Our Heavenly Father, we believe, gives gifts to those who don't even believe in him. That he cares for those who don't even acknowledge him. And so we believe that even though you may not believe in God, that he still gives gifts to you, which means we believe, at least, that you have many things to be grateful for, regardless if you believe in him or not. He gives gifts to the Christian and to everybody else, because he's loving and he's merciful and he's called us to do the same and to be grateful. Gratitude is trusting that our tomorrow is going to be covered by acknowledging and being grateful for our yesterday and for our today, because he's given you many gifts. Be thankful for them. Notice them. This is not a promise that it will be easy. As you heard Cheryl's story, it was not easy, even after the surrendering happened. For Job, life was not easy, even after he surrendered. And for Mary, life was not easy, even after this happened. After this happened to Mary, she lived through a lot of public shame because people assumed her faithlessness due to her faithfulness. You actually see later, if you read through the Gospel of John, Jesus actually interacts with people who claim that he was actually the child of unfaithfulness. It actually kept going, that this stigma kept going for a while. She had to live with that. It wasn't easy. But think about this for a moment. Why should we trust God if it's going to be difficult in the future? Think about, for a woman in that time to have a child, to have a son in that culture, the son would then care for the family and support them. Mary, through her son, not only had her family supported and cared for, but the entire earth and all of humanity was saved through her son, through the faithfulness that she had. Her son saved everyone's family. That is something that happens when you live life with an open hand. Can you imagine if she had said no? I don't even want to think about a world that that would happen. Our call for all of us is to interrupt your life with gratitude. That's our homework. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up. Interrupt your own life with gratitude, so when God interrupts your life, you know how to respond. I highly recommend it. If you're looking for a way to do that, list out a few things in your life that you're grateful for and remind them. Remind yourself of that daily, whether at breakfast, when you wake up, at a meal, at night. Go through what you're grateful for. Look at them. Acknowledge them. Every morning I wake up and I list 5 things that I'm grateful for, because in the morning I need to remember things that I'm grateful for, because my affect is bad and I have a rough time in the morning. And when I read these things and acknowledge these things, it sets me in the right direction. I wake up every morning and remember that life out there is not just a threat. But I look out at everything that I have and I say, I have been given so much. I'm ready for God to do something in my life because he already has. He's already taken care of me. It's been hard, but he can do it again. I highly encourage you in this season and in life to adopt a daily practice of gratitude, to practice living life with an open hand and a grateful heart. Valleybrook, go and do the same. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, King of the universe, you have done so much. Lord, if we were to list out every possible thing that we could be grateful for that you have done for us, we would be here to the end of eternity. There'd be infinite books and infinite libraries filled with the great things that you have done, the things that we could be grateful for. Lord, I pray that every single one of us, whether we believe in your name or not, can acknowledge the things in our life that we are grateful for. Because in that, we acknowledge you. And I hope and I pray that everyone can do that. Because when we do that, Lord, you have created it in our being to heal as we are grateful. Our whole soul and body, mind and spirit, they heal when we connect with you and are grateful for you. Lord, I pray that as every person in this room, whether they've already been disrupted in their life with something you've put in their life, whether they're about to, or whether that they are years past from a time when it happened, Lord, I pray that every single one of us adopts a life with an open hand and a grateful heart, that we may acknowledge you and surrender the way that Mary surrendered. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and for the many gifts you give us. In your name we pray, amen.